of the fight back for this weekend's fight. We're obviously on the phone today to talk about the Ricky Hatton, Paulie Malignaggi. Thank you. I'm so sorry. I practice that all the time. Fight. It's a main event. It's 12 rounds for the Ring Magazine and the IBO World Junior Welterweight Championship. The co-main event is James Kirkland and Brian Vera. That's a 10-round middleweight bout. Both bouts are taking place this Saturday at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas, and it's live on HBO's World Championship Boxing, starting at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific. The bout, the first bout main event is presented by Golden Boy Promotions in association with Punch Promotions and DiBella Entertainment. Kirkland Vieira is presented in association with Tournament of Contenders. The sponsors are Affliction Clothing and Cerveza Tecate. Tickets are still available. There's various ticket prices, and there's no limit on tickets. Anyone can call Ticketmaster to order these tickets, 702-474-4000. And the doors open at 3 o'clock. And so we're going to start first with the Malignaggi side. And to make those introductions at this time, I'd like to introduce Lou DiBella, president of DiBella Entertainment. Lou?
Thank you. Luckily, everyone I have to thank was just thanked or mentioned. And, you know, I'm just happy to be involved with what's going to be a great fight on Saturday night, and even happier that the fight's live on HBO. No pay-per-view in this economy, an opportunity for people to actually make use of their great HBO subscription and see a terrific fight that's meaningful without having to shell out additional cash. So I'm thrilled about that. The last time I was this confident, where I had an underdog fighting in a main event in a very significant fight, Bernard Hopkins was the underdog against Felix Trinidad, and I walked into that fight as confident as I could be. That's how I feel with this one. Paulie is incredibly skilled, a terrific boxer. People get, you know, caught up in the statistics on punching power and forget his intestinal fortitude, his balls, his great speed, and I think he has all the tools and exactly the type of style to beat Ricky Hatton. And I think that, you know, after the fight on Saturday, everybody's going to be, you know, looking at me and I'm going to be saying, told you so. Because now I'm saying, just wait and see. Because I really believe that Paulie Malignaggi is going to become the top-rated 40-pounder in the world with a victory over Ricky Hatton on Saturday. One of his key things he has to do to win that fight is to listen to the man I'm about to introduce and not let his balls overcome his brain. And I think if Paulie listens to Buddy and stays within himself, you're going to see a clear-cut Paulie Malignaggi victory on Saturday night at the MGM Grand. I'd like just to bring up just a couple of words, Buddy McGirt.
Thank you, Lou. Lou pretty much said it all. I mean, the only thing I have to say is that to sit back and watch on Saturday night, you know, the masterpiece that Paulie puts together.
Paulie?
We had a great camp. You know, everybody basically already said what I need to say. We had a great camp. I'm more than ready for the fight, and it's just a matter of putting on the show now on Saturday night. I mean, that's the only thing left. I mean, everything else is A-okay. Had a good camp. Feeling sharp, feeling good, feeling confident, and Saturday night is time for showtime.
Okay, great. Thank you.
We'll open up for questions.
Okay, let's go, operator.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from Dan Raphael.
Hey, guys. Paulie, how are you today?
Good, Dan. How you feel?
I'm good. Paulie, real quick, first of all, the hand that gave you problems in the Lescano fight, that was your left hand, correct?
The hand gave problems with my right hand.
Your right hand, okay.
In the Lescano card, I was fighting one more in the yeah.
I meant on the card with Ricky and Lescano, but that was the right hand, the one that's giving you all the issues.
Yeah, I broke it in the fight.
Okay, how is that doing? I mean, I know you were concerned about that after your victory against Lovemore in the rematch. How has it been throughout the training camp, and how is it right now?
It's been good. I've been punching this August, and I haven't really felt anything, so it's good. You know, I was actually pleasantly surprised that I was able to start punching in August, and I figured, you know, even though I would have to take it easy and start punching very lightly and then punch harder as we went along, I mean, I was punching pretty hard before the end of August, and it has never given me a problem the entire camp, so that's good.
All right, that's good to hear. You know, you and Buddy have been working together for a while now, and, you know, I know you guys have, I guess it seems as though you've formed some sort of connection. And I wonder what your thoughts are with, in terms of Ricky's side, where for the first time in his whole career of, like, you know, 40-something fights, he's going with a new trainer in Mayweather Sr. instead of Billy Graham. And I wonder, do you think there's anything at this stage of Ricky's career who, you know, is a veteran fighter at this point, is there anything that Mayweather or whoever the trainer would be that can come in and do anything that's going to make him a different fighter? In other words, can Mayweather help him with anything?
Well, they seem to think so. They seem to think that he's going to become this defensive whiz or whatnot. You know, I think they know that Ricky Hatton is deep inside, and although they'll probably teach him a couple things, he is what he is, and he's going to fight the way he fights. I mean, you know what they say, everybody has a game plan until you get punched in the mouth. I mean, Saturday night, the bell's going to ring, he's going to get punched in his mouth. And then we'll see what kind of game plan he has.
What I was going to say also is this. You have a guy that's going to, you know, Floyd Sr. is a known guy for teaching defense and, like you said, defensive wizardry and all that kind of stuff. But if it's a boxing match that he's looking for, how in the world can a Ricky Hatton, as good as he may be as a fighter, how does he outbox a Paulie Malignaggi?
Yeah, I don't know if he's really looking for a boxing match, but staying on the level with teaching defensive wizardry, you can teach somebody defensive wizardry, you can teach somebody anything, but you need to have the talent to go along with it. You know, if you're teaching a fighter defense, he has to have the natural defensive ability. I like to call it the natural radar that you're born with. You have to be born with some kind of natural defensive radar, and then you can be taught the defense on top of that. Because the sense of anticipation is very important when you're teaching defense. Ricky Hatton has absolutely no sense of anticipation about what's coming his way. So, you know, you can teach him all the defense you want. Defensively, he's horrible.
All right. So you anticipate just outboxing the guy like you've done with most of your opponents throughout your career?
Listen, we concentrated on being the best Paulie Malignaggi possible. We didn't concentrate on what we learned, what he thinks he learned. We didn't concentrate on any of that. We concentrated on being the best Paulie Malignaggi possible. And Ricky's not going to handle it.
Very good. Paulie, thank you very much. I look forward to seeing the fight for, Saturday.
No problem, man. Thank you.
Yeah. The next question comes from Michael David Smith of AOL Sports.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
Good. Mike, how you feel?
A lot of people think that boxing is sort of a sport in decline in the United States, not as popular as it used to be, and that young people aren't growing up wanting to be boxers. And obviously you're one of the top American boxers, and I'm just curious whether you agree with that, that it's a sport in decline, and whether you think your own personal success might be able to do anything to reverse that trend.
I think my own personal success can have a help in reversing the trend. I think the problem is we have great players in America. We just don't make them into stars anymore, you know. We're relying too much on our old stars, you know, or keeping the old names and trying to keep them afloat, so to speak, you know. You know, Oscar De La Hoya, Roy Jones, Sugar Shane Mosley, they were all great fighters, but they're all 35-plus years old now, you know what I mean? You have to let the young stars take over now, because at the end of the day, the public, especially non-boxing fans that will be drawn to boxing, want to see young stars fighting in their prime. They don't want to see 35-plus-year-olds. They don't want to see foreigners. You know, it seems like we make a lot of foreigners also into stars here in America as opposed to our own fighters. And we have good fighters here. We have good young fighters fighting right now, you know, that have been champions already, but not a lot of the American public doesn't know. I'm one of them. Chad Dawson, Yespimo Luovano from California, yes, Robert Guerrero. I mean, I'm just naming off the top of my head. These are good young fighters that have had titles or are champions, you know. So we have good young champions, but we're too busy promoting foreign fighters like Joe Calzaghe, Ricky Hatton, Manny Pacquiao, Miguel Cotto. Listen, those fighters are great fighters too, but they have their own following already. It's up to us to make our fighters stars. That way when we fight those guys, the fights can be unbelievably huge.
Great. Thanks, Paul.
The next question comes from Chris Cazone with Fight News.
Hey, Paulie, how would you compare your training camp to the one you had with against Miguel Cotto, and also your motivation and how psyched up you are for this fight?
I'm just as motivated, but the training camp has been much better, much smoother. Not that I have any excuses for the Cotto camp. Just, you know, I was inexperienced, and I listened to a lot of people heading into the Miguel Cotto fight. A lot of people wanted me to change a lot of things because they said, oh, this is a different fight. You need to do things this way now instead of this way. And I listened, you know, because I hadn't been in that situation before. This time, you know, we did things basically our way. We, you know, I have obviously a great trainer. I didn't have Buddy McGirt in the corner for the Miguel Cotto fight. This is going to be also a very big factor in the fight, having Buddy in the corner with me for this fight. And along with that major difference, you know, we just had a great camp. We had a great camp, a smooth running camp, great sparring, great workouts. And I definitely think the motivation is the same, but the camp went a lot smoother. I'll put it that way.
Would you say the your success in that fight? I mean, you got a great showing against Cotto. No one expected you to. Did that do a lot for your?
Just having gone through the experience of 12 rounds with Miguel Cotto, you know, is something that can help me in a fight like this because you know it's a fight of large magnitude like this is. But you know, obviously the outcome. I'm not satisfied with the outcome at all. No, I mean, I went there to win that fight. I didn't win the fight. So you know, it's something that's always gonna stay with me. But if I learned anything from that fight Saturday night, you know, it should really show. And I'll be guys what exactly what I learned besides the fact that I had a great camp.
Thanks, Paul, and good luck Saturday night.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Keith Adek with Herald News in New Jersey.
Hey, Paulie, how you doing?
So, Keith, how's everything?
Pretty good, thanks. I was just wondering, what, you know, obviously Hatton's performance in his fight against Lascano was not what he would have wanted it to be, and I know your last two performances were not exactly what you wanted it to be. How do you think he's looking at you going into this fight based on those two fights?
I don't know. When I saw a quote this week where he said that if he can't be Paulie Malignaggi, he might as well retire, so I think he's basically only looking at it from these last two performances. Man, you know, to each his own, you know, I'm looking at the big picture, man. I'm not looking at his last performance. I'm not looking at the one before that. I'm just looking at the entire picture. But yeah, and as a whole, I'm keeping in mind that he has a new trainer. But at the end of the day, like I said before, we focus on us being sharp and us being great. And, you know, he can think about what he wants. He can have in mind that maybe he's looking at my last two fights, maybe he's not. I don't know. At this point, it doesn't really matter. He can have anybody he wants in his corner. He can prepare any way he wants in his corner. He can look at it any way he wants in the corner. Saturday night, he's not going to win the fight.
Paulie, were you surprised that he said what he said?
Was I surprised that he said what he said? I'm not. I don't know, man. Nothing surprises me anymore, really. But you know, I'm a guy that likes to get amped up when trash talking happens. But that wasn't that. If you don't want to amp me up, that's definitely not the quote you want to say, because. Now, you know, I said before, listen, the intention wasn't to retire Ricky Hatton. The intention is just to beat him. And, you know, if he decides that he wants to retire after the fight, that's fine. But having said that, the way he said it, now I'm going to take him out completely. You know what I mean? Now I could care less. Now it's time to retire.
Thanks, Paul.
Again, well, to ask a question, press *1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from Ramon Aranda with 411mania.com.
Hey, Paulie, how's it going, man? You know, we all know Ricky Hatton's the kind of guy that likes to go in there and get in his opponent's face. He likes to make it a rough fight, likes to slug it out, clinch, you know, do whatever he can to make it a rough fight. How do you prepare for something like that? I mean, I know you're a slick fighter, but what do you do in camp to combat something like that?
You just work on his proper techniques. You work, you know, you get the proper sparring partners, and then you go in there and you fight. At the end of the, I'm not a guy who cries to the referee, but I will make the points before the fight. I mean, this is not a wrestling match. This is not a WWE or cage fighting. You know, wrestling is not allowed. Holding and hitting is not allowed in the fight. If it's going on during the fight, you won't see me crying about it, but I will make a point before the fight that, you know, let everybody know. Obviously, this is a guy that loves to wrestle. I don't know why he doesn't just fight in wrestling tights half the time, because that's what he's doing anyway.
I know you're perceived to be a guy that doesn't have, you know, obviously the biggest pop in the division. But, you know, with, again, kind of going back to Ricky Hatton trying to be in his opponent's face, are you just trying to use your hand speed to combat Ricky Hatton? Because obviously, you know, the punch itself, you know, well, you know he could take a punch. You know, he likes to come ahead, you know, head forward.
That's what I'm going to do. The basic game plan is to beat his ass. He's going to come, he's going to box, he's going to come forward. Whatever he wants to do, he's going to get his ass beat. That's the bottom line. It doesn't matter how I do it with speed, with my legs, staying in there, they're not staying in there, whatever it is. He's going to get his ass beat. That's the point. You want to know what I'm going to do? I'm going to beat his ass. That's what I'm doing.
Thanks, Paul.
No problem.
Your next question comes from Sean Reed with FightBeat.com.
How's it going, Paulie?
What's up, man?
I'd like to get your perspective on Hatton's lack of discipline in between fights, the partying, the weight gain, things of that nature. What do you think about that?
I don't think it's obviously something that can help him. But, you know, he's gotten away with it his whole career, you know, and he manages to have a great camp every time and lose all the weight and do what he's got to do and be ready for these fights. So, you know, more power to him. At the end of the day, I don't really look too much into that kind of stuff. You know, that's more for you guys. You know, I'm just no fight night. He's always ready to fight, so I'll be ready to fight the same way on Saturday night.
Do you feel that, though, repeatedly doing that and then as you get older, do you feel that could compromise any fighter's performance?
I think the way he gets punched in his face all the time compromises his performance and shortens his career more than that. You know, I mean, the guy been getting hit his whole career. If anything's going to shorten his career, it's the type of defense. You know, so, you know, he gets in shape. Obviously, like I said, it doesn't help him to balloon up in weight. But I think the amount of punches he takes every time he fights is probably should be more of a concern than the way he lives between fights.
On a lighter note, in the read with Endo, the hair, what kind of hairstyle are you rocking this time, bro?
We're going to let you find out on tonight, but it'll be a lot more manageable, I promise.
Okay, appreciate it, man.
No problem, man. Take care.
We have a follow-up question from Dan Raphael with ESPN.
This time, my friend, your hair. Hey, buddy, are you there still? Buddy? Is Buddy there?
Buddy.
That's all right. If he's not there, he's not there.
Is that what you want?
Well, I was going to ask Buddy something, but I got a question for Paulie also. Paulie, you there, right? Paulie?
Yeah, I'm here.
I believe you trained. I saw you in Las Vegas before the Tarver-Dawson fight in early October.
Are you still there? I have Buddy.
Okay, I'll get to Buddy in just a sec. Paul, you trained for Vegas for this fight, right? You've been there. Have you stayed all the way from October, whenever I saw you out there for Tarver Dawson, through?
Yeah, I've been there the whole time. Yeah, I've been here the whole time. I finished talking about here.
Is that the first time you've trained away from either Vero or New York? Like for a whole training camp?
For most of the camp, yeah. This has been the biggest chunk of time I've been away from Vero or New York for a long time.
So I'm wondering, what was the reason you decided to take a camp away from, you know, you've had great success training in Vero and New York, I guess, so what was the purpose to go to Vegas? Just to change the pace?
I was more concerned getting the proper sparring, and I know Vegas is a fight town, and I knew I would be able to get the proper sparring out here. You know, I didn't always feel that I was getting the sparring I needed back on the East Coast anymore, you know, but, you know, the main thing was the sparring I was concerned with, and we definitely got that, so that was problem solved pretty much.
Okay, also, one of the, you know, sort of interesting things going to this fight is, you know, you had one of the titles of the sanctioning bodies. They basically made you give it up to take this fight against Hatton, who is, by all accounts, the ring title and whatever, the recognized champion lineage and all that stuff. Can you discuss how disappointed, if any whatsoever, that you had to give up a belt that I know you worked hard to get? Do you have any mixed emotions about that? I know you're getting a good payday for this, and obviously you're fighting the number one fighter in the division. But what were your thoughts about that element of this fight?
Yeah, it's a bit disappointing, you know. I worked my whole life, man, to get one of those major titles, you know, and I finally had it, and, you know, I definitely didn't want to just give it up, but obviously you have to make the correct decision here. This is the biggest fight that can be made in the weight class at this time. So it was like, although it was disappointing, it was also a no-brainer to have to vacate the title and to do it. You know, so I didn't think twice about it.
You didn't think twice about it?
I did not think twice about it.
Okay.
And although it was disappointing, it was also a no-brainer to vacate it.
And I assume, tell me if I'm wrong here, if you win this fight, you will declare yourself you are the champion of the 140-pound division, correct?
Yeah, I mean, consensus-wise, I should be. I mean, I don't know who decides who the champions are anymore, you know? Some people say some guys are champions, some people say other guys are champions. But I like to call it consensus number one. I think the consensus will say that I'm the number one junior welter in the world after Saturday night.
Okay. Buddy, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, buddy. I asked, I don't know if you were on when you heard this part of the question. I'd asked Paulie about going and doing this training camp in Las Vegas instead of where he has trained previously in Vero Beach with you and also in New York. Were you a proponent of, you know, you're based in Vera. Were you a proponent of getting away from there and going to a different place to get him ready for this very important fight, or would you have preferred to stay in Vera where, obviously, you know, your gym is and other guys that you work with are located? How did that work out?
Honestly, I would have preferred to stay in Vera, but I knew how important this was to him. So, you know, I mean, if I know how important it is for him. So, you know, we got to do, if we're a team, man, we got to do what we got to do. But believe me, I don't like it here.
Why not?
You know, I mean, you know, there's no honesty. You know, everyone's like, you know, what did Paulie do to get you to leave Vera? I'm like, listen, I know this is an important fight for him. You know what I mean? And, you know, sometimes, you know, guys never get this opportunity in their whole career. So, you know, we got to do what we got to do. So, I mean, I came here, and, you know what I mean, and with him, and we got, you know, we got the job done. So now we just got to put the finishing touches on Saturday. But, you know, when I leave here Sunday morning, I'm going to throw a rock at Las Vegas when I'm on the plane.
What do you hate so much about it? You fought there a lot of times.
You know what it is? If there's not a big fight, it doesn't happen here. It's just like, you know, it's like any other place. And it seems like we're just so far from everything. You know what I mean? We're like we're on the other side of the map.
So you guys had a house. Like, you're not staying in the hotel. You got the house off the strip and everything?
No, we stayed in a hotel. We wasn't on the strip. We stayed in Henderson.
Okay.
We stayed in a nice place. You know what I mean? The people treated us nice. I mean, but I just, you know, just being away from my gym, you know what I mean, the guys, you know what I mean, it was different. But, hey, listen, you know what I mean? Paulie said, you know, I just knew how important this was for him. So, I mean, that's why I came.
With regard to the actual fight itself, you know, in your day, buddy, as a champion, when you were fighting, I mean, you know, were a top-notch boxer in many ways, similar to Paulie. When you look at a fighter like Ricky Hatton and you think about the types of guys you fought in your career, is it almost kind of, in your mind, easy to formulate a game plan to go up against a fighter who's, you know, somewhat one-dimensional?
I mean, it's easy to formulate a game plan, but the key is just, you know, executing, you know what I mean? I mean, you know, Ricky Hatton, you know, is a good fighter. I don't like to use the word great. You know, everyone throws the great. He's a very good fighter. And, you know, we know what to expect from him. You know, if he comes out and tries to stick a move on Paul, you know, come on, let's be for real.
Right.
I mean, you know, I mean, he's going to try to, you know, put the pressure. And I feel Mayweather is going to have him use a jab more, you know, to set up everything and use it, you know, and try to improve his defense. But if they're judging Paulie off of his last two fights, then they're in trouble. I just feel that off his last two fights, like I said to Paulie, you know, your last two fights that you had, before those fights, everyone kept talking about Ricky Hatton. So no matter how much you said you're not thinking about Ricky Hatton, it's on your mind. All right?
And
it's like, you know, you want to get the prom queen, but you got to deal with these ugly girls before you get to the prom queen. I said, now you're here. Now we got it. I mean, now we got Ricky Hatton now.
Buddy,
there's no okay. So now we're here, and it showed in camp. I mean, it just showed, everything just showed. You know, his mind frame was different, everything, because now he got the fight that he wanted. He's here now. He's at the big dance now. He's got the prom queen now. He's got to take it home and handle his business.
Okay. Buddy, I have to, maybe I'm wrong here. You're not going to let Paulie going to exit that dressing room with long, crazy hair, are you? You cut it off in the dressing room.
No, you know what? We made sure that we had him in a part of town when there was no hair salons. No, I mean, listen, he tried it. It didn't work, so now we just move on. So, you know, he's going to have the Buddy McGirt haircut Saturday.
Bald. Well, I know his hair was short in October when I saw him. I don't know if he could grow it too long in that period of time, but he can always go with the hair extension. So just make sure that Danny Milano has scissors in the corner, and Paulie owed him $25 for the haircut the last time.
Thanks. Listen, in England, I mean, when he was in England, when he was in Italy, he left home with a bald head and came home, you know, looking like a Jamaican. So anything can happen with Malinaggio.
All right, guys, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Dan. Okay, we'll take one more question for Paulie.
The last question comes from Ron Borges with the Boston Herald.
Hey, Paulie, how you doing? Hey, Ron, what's up, man? How you feel? Pretty good. You? Good, good. What think it is that, you know, there was a time when defensively, if you want to call yourself a defensive fighter, defensive master, whatever, was viewed with a lot of respect in amongst fight fans and so forth. Why do you think it is that people don't seem to recognize that whole side of boxing and your mastery of that side of boxing?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I
I haven't figured it out. I mean, it's kind of just becoming a lost art, so to speak. People don't appreciate it as much. You know, it's like everybody wants to see knockouts nowadays. You know, maybe the public is just getting more bloodthirsty. I'm not sure. I can't really put my finger on it, but you know, being a good defensive fighter, there's an art to it and there's a skill to that also. You know, I can't make people appreciate it or not appreciate it though.
What is it? Why did you? It seems like to a degree you sort of fell in love with that style of boxing. Obviously, you're good at it, so I'm sure that has something to do with it. What was it that attracted you to that side of the sport, the Willie Pep side?
Well, you know, I just used to watch guys when I was younger. You know, I used to love Muhammad Ali. You watch videos of Muhammad Ali, guys like Sugar Ray Leonard and stuff like that. You know. And just, you know, I used to see these fast guys and stuff. And although I was a guy, my favorite fighter was Arturo Gatti growing up, you know, I always appreciated these fast, elusive guys, you know. So once I started boxing, I kind of modeled myself after them, you know, realizing that I always had natural speed no matter what sport I played, you know. I kind of modeled myself after the speedy kind of guys, you know. And the elusiveness is natural, you know. When you have speed, you know, you have the natural elusive, fast-handed style, you know.
In your opinion, has Hatton ever been in with anybody like you, who can move like you and do the things you can do, or is he in for a shock on that?
He's been in with a lot of names, Ricky Hatton. Ricky Hatton's resume is full of big names. The problem is they're all 100 when he fought them. So you can look at his resume and say, wow, that's definitely a lot of name fighters. But then again, when he fought them, they were all 100, so it's not the same thing. If I fought Aaron Pryor today, I'd beat the shit out of Aaron Pryor, but I'm not fighting Aaron Pryor that was the main in the 80s. You know what I'm saying? So that's basically how you can look at Ricky Hatton's record. He's fighting shells of their former selves. The only prime fighters, hungry fighters that he fought in his whole career that were at where they were in their prime and they were hungry. Mayweather, Luis Collazo, could have been Juan Arango. Juan Arango fought like he was just happy to be this. We won't even count them. Paulie Malignaggi is only going to be the third fighter in his whole career, 45 fights going on, the 45 that he fought. A fighter that's in his prime, that is hungry and still has all the tools that he's coming to the ring with in his prime. You know what I'm saying? He has all those same tools in their prime, not when they're 40 years old. You know what I'm saying? So although Ricky's resume is full of bigger names than mine, I fought some tough names also, especially in my last few fights, and they're all young prime fighters. So it's different when you're fighting an old man or when he gets hit and he's already made his money or he's at the end of his career. He doesn't really want to take it the same way. When you fight a young prime fighter, and I've been fighting a lot of those, with the exception of Love Morendo recently, and we all see Love Morendo still durable. He just went to this with a Cintron. But besides him, I've been fighting all young prime fighters. There's more to go for them. You know what I'm saying? There's more to prove for them. So when you punch them in the mouth, they're more apt to come right back at you more than an old man. So Wrestle Rick is going to find out Saturday night. He's not in with an old man. He's in with somebody that wants to punch him right back in his mouth the way he's trying to do to me.
Is the speed, how much do you think your speed's going to cause him problems that he has no answer for?
Oh, I think it's going to cause plenty of problems. I mean, look, the only two fast guys he fought were Collazo and Mayweather. You know, those are his biggest problems in his career. The guy obviously doesn't deal with speed well. He was supposed to fight Sean Van Mitchell years ago, and they found a way to avoid it. So, you know, obviously we all know why. Speed bothers him. And one thing you think of when you think of Paulie Malignaggi is speed. They think, you know, they're going to improve him with these new techniques with Mayweather and make him a little faster. It doesn't matter. You have to be born with some kind of speed. And his little matchup to mine. And I'll show you Saturday night. You know, if they don't believe it, they're going to see Saturday night for sure. So I'll show everybody Saturday night.
Thanks,
Bob. No problem.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you so much. Paul, you are great. We appreciate Buddy and Lou. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We're now going to pass the torch of this call. And let me make sure I have everybody on. Is Dave there?
I'm here.
Okay. And we're going to patch in Ricky Hatton and Floyd Mayweather Sr. to continue this call. So stand by. Okay. Let's just get confirmation that those guys are there. 1 minute. Okay, Ricky and Floyd, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, excellent. Okay, so at this time, I'm now going to quickly turn this over to Dave, and Dave Iskowich with Golden Boy Promotions, and he will introduce the principals. Dave?
Thank you, Kelly. Again, everyone, welcome to the call. We're really excited about this event. Should be a great fight on Saturday night. I'll keep my comments brief because I know Ricky and Floyd have a lot to say. Just want to thank Ricky Hatton and his team, DeBella Entertainment, MGM Grand, HBO, everyone for putting all their hard work in for this fight that we're real excited about. As Kelly mentioned earlier, tickets are still available, so go out and get them. I'd like to introduce now, just to say a few words before we go to the Q&A, the greatest trainer in the world, Floyd Mayweather Sr. Floyd?
That would be me. Yeah. Man, everything I just heard a few minutes ago about Paulie Maginot, you're talking, man, you just wasn't joking. I had to laugh, man. This kid's going to get beat to death, man. And he's down there trying to talk about how he would have beat an Ann Fryer. Man, come on, man. He could have did it in two lifetimes. Yeah, I can't fight, man. You finna see Saturday. So, yes.
Okay, thanks a lot, Floyd. Now I'd like to introduce a man who really needs no introduction. One of the most popular fighters in the world. Back in May, he packed 58,000 people into Man City Stadium in Manchester. He's the Ring Magazine Junior Welterweight Champion of the World, the IBO Junior Welterweight Champion of the World. He'll be defending both titles on Saturday night. One of the most exciting fighters and one of the more personable guys you'll meet out there. Ricky the Hitman Hatton from Manchester, England, with a record of 44-1 with 31 KOs. Ricky, take it away.
Yeah, just thanks for coming on, guys. Just the training has gone absolutely fantastic. As you know, there have been changes in the camp, changes in my training camp. Obviously, hooked up with Floyd and the training. Me and Floyd, I think, have talked to each other like ducks to water, really. It's been, I've always knew that I had, a lot of people say that, everybody knows Ricky Hatton for his pressure and his body punching and, 100 mile an hour, but I always, in certain performances, I have shown my boxing skills, and I think that's how me and Floyd have been able to adapt and got used to each other so quickly, I think, because I have got this boxing ability that nobody seems to see. And Floyd has, brought it to the forefront. I'm a lot more aware of punches coming at me now. I'm setting up my attacks a lot better, cutting the ring down better, and I think I needed a confidence-boosting training camp like this because the last two performances and the last few performances have been a little bit too crash bang, 100 mile an hour, not a lot of method to the madness type thing, and that's what Floyd's brought back to me game. And also added a lot more. The training camp has been hard, very hard, but it's also been fun. I think I've not changed my style. Floyd's just adapted it and polished it up in certain areas and brought out to the forefront what I knew what was lurking in the background, if you like. Sometimes Ricky Hatton doesn't show all the boxing ability that he's got in, and also we're working with Floyd, able to... But the way the training camp's gone, the performance of the fight is... If I can set my performance of a training camp into my fight, then everybody's going to see, a new Ricky Hatton and improved Ricky Hatton, and... a lot of people say maybe five or times catching up with me. A lot of people are going to be writing a different script, I think. But thank you to everyone who's been involved in making the promotion. It's number one and number two in the division. I think you can't ask better than that. It's great to be back in Vegas. The American fight fans, they've always treated me like gold. I come here, the American people, press, everybody. And it's fantastic to be back to put on another exciting. I've got a good show, really, but I feel I've got a lot to prove in this fight. Many people are starting to think that the best fights are behind me, but that's certainly not the case. And this training camp has proved that there's a lot more left in Ricky Hatton, and I'm going to show it on Saturday night. But thanks to everyone for coming on and answering your questions.
Great, thanks, Ricky. Okay, operator, let's open it up, please.
As a reminder, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Dan Raphael with ESPN.
Thank you. Hey, Ricky, how are you today?
I have done fine, thanks.
Hey, Ricky, can you tell me when you made the change in trainers and you went to start working out with Floyd, can you tell me what was the one thing that was the most different from what it had been like working with Billy Graham?
I think basically we just, I mean, it was different training methods in the sense that, you know, some days, the same as Billy in the sense that some days we'll have hard days, some days we'll have an easier day, but just basically a lot more talented work. I mean, it's a simple case of, if you watch the 24-7 program last year for the Mayweather fight, you could see how badly my trainer at the time, Billy Graham, was struggling with his injuries, and he was having problems with his hands and elbows and stuff like that. And it's a simple case of my training was suffering in my training camps. I think it showed in performances, but there's no real method to the madness in recent performances. And it's a simple case of if you're not doing these things in the gym, you're not going to do it in the ring. And we've gone back to basics, and Floyd has just slowed me down a little bit. He's got me using my jab a little bit more. He's got me aware of punches coming back at me and not me just throwing the left, so to speak. And it's just, I mean, I've shown in my career that I have got this boxing ability, you know, the fights like Ben Tacky, Ray Oliveira, you know, and fights like that I have got this, but sometimes I don't use it, and he's been working with Floyd, he's brought out the best of me, so I expect, on Saturday night people to see the usual, aggressive Ricky Hatton, because let's have it right, that's what I've got to do, I've got to cut the ring down and jump all over Paulie, but, I think there'll be a lot more method in the madness and a lot more polished in how I do it. But there's a lot more sparring with Floyd, a lot more technique work. The runs have been a lot harder. We've been running up Mount Charleston at, altitude, which is something I've never, ever done. And my stamina wasn't that bad in the first place, so this is going to benefit me no end. So just, I think you're going to see a lot more polished Ricky Hatton. And when people are going on in the career, people like Arturo Gatti in the past, Martin Trini, Barrera, that's a tweak the styles to put on the career, and I think that's what we've done.
Hey, Floyd, can you talk about that a little bit when you came in and started to take over the corner and work with Ricky? What were the types of things that you wanted to see him improve on most, and how has he gone about that during your training camp with him?
Well, you know, like Ricky said, it really didn't take long. I thought it was going to be quite difficult. That's what I thought. But Ricky proved me. It wasn't difficult at all. You know, the first week I was there, when I first started training with Ricky, man, I mean, Ricky was nicking my face, man, my chin, and everything, man. I mean, he was scared me to death, man. I told you he was up on me, you know, but shortly after, man, the next week, man, Ricky started coming right in tone, man, and we taped the thing down, man. I slowed him down, man, and he got a chance to see exactly what needs to be done, and Ricky's a very good student, and it's not hard to work with him at all, and what Ricky needs to do is we're still working on things, you know, like getting the jab and getting him a little closer to the opponent, you know, before he uses jab. Sometimes he leaps, and, that's not good, but overall, he made a tremendous change, and I think you're going to see a different Ricky Hatton come Saturday night. And I think you'll see, so far, I think you're going to see the best of Ricky Hatton so far. But the best still yet to come. But you haven't seen all of Ricky, but you're going to see a different Ricky, I guarantee you.
Hey, Floyd, when you went in there, were you looking to make some wholesale changes or, like Ricky mentioned, polish things up? Or are you trying to, are you able, can you turn somebody like Ricky, who got to where he is because of the certain style that he used, which was being aggressive and being a good player?
You know what? I never tried to take nothing from Ricky in terms of his style, because I feel like he should be aggressive. But I want to be aggressive, but I want to be smart being aggressive. You ain't got to get hit because you're aggressive. You know, that's why you catch punches, that's why you slip and slide punches, that's why you pull away from punches and slide over from punches. You know, you ain't got to get beat up because you are, you ain't even beat the man up. You got to get in there and make him pay. That's part of the game. So I think, and Ricky's been doing that very well. As a matter of fact, he was telling me one day, he said, man, you know, I can move my head. I can move my head, but I can't punch. But lately, he's been moving his head and punching at the same time. Ricky have showed me tremendous changes already. I mean, you know, he's looking good. You see?
And just real quick, when did you guys first get together to work? When did that start?
I might have been working with Ricky now to tell you. I think Ricky's been here now. I don't know if he's been here. I think he's been here 5 weeks.
You might when did you make the agreement to start to work together? Huh? When did you make the agreement to work together?
It came through a guy that lives in England.
When was it? I just want to know how long it's been.
It's not maybe, I would say maybe seven or 8 weeks now.
Okay, terrific. Okay, Floyd, thank you. I'll see you guys in Vegas in a couple of days.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Robert Morales with Los Angeles Daily.
Hello, everybody. Hi, Ricky. How you doing, man?
How you doing, great.
Good, good. Hey, listen, you know, I don't know if this is true. I read a couple of things on the Internet where it said that you would retire if you didn't beat Malignaggi. I don't know if that was just stuff to kind of pump yourself up or if you are seriously thinking of retiring at an early age. Can you talk about that just a little bit?
No, I'm not seriously thinking of retiring. It's something I don't want to do, but I mean, if I don't beat Paulie Malignaggi, it's something I should seriously look at because, to be honest, in my heart, I should beat him and I should... I believe I can do it in good style. And I'm not taking anything away from Paulie. You know, he has got fantastic skills. It's great to watch. He's always in good fights, which for someone who's known as a boxer movie is very, very rare in boxing. So all the credit in the world to him. But, you know, I just look at, you know, what he's got in his arsenal, what I've got in my arsenal, and I should beat him. And I think if I don't beat him, I have to... You know, a fighter's got to be honest with themselves. I mean, I lost to Floyd Mayweather, and then we fight against Juan Lascano. Albeit, I mentioned at the time, I did have quite a bad chest infection that hampered the training tremendously. You know, that wasn't exactly the performance I was expecting from myself. But if I don't perform again, I mean, I've just got to start looking at things a little closer. That's what I meant.
Okay. Thank you, Ricky. Good luck, man.
Thank you.
Again, to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from Michael David Smith with AOL Sports.
Hi, Ricky. How are you doing?
You good, mate. Thanks.
The last time you fought in Las Vegas, I think a lot of Americans came away extremely impressed with how devoted your fan base is. And I'm just wondering, do you expect to have thousands of your fans in attendance again? And does hearing your fans make a difference to you while you're in the ring?
Yeah, I expect them to come over again in the droves. I believe they are. I believe there's going to be about 8,000 to 10,000 coming over. It's fantastic. When you bear in mind, we've just had Joe Calzacchi fighting in New York. David Hayes just fought in London in the weekend, just got his debut at heavyweight. Next week in Vegas, we've got the massive Manny Pacquiao, Oscar De La Hoya fight. And then obviously... back in England, there's a recession on, which is what we call a credit crunch, where even the banks are in trouble back home in England. So and with New Year, Christmas coming up, it's not really, you know, there's so many things going on, really. But I mean, so when you think about 10,000 fans are going to come out for the fight, I think that's phenomenal support again. I mean, obviously, I believe there's about 35,000 came out for the Mayweather fight, which obviously that was like a one-off occasion and that. And, but, you know, I think 10,000 fights to sell that in your hometown, 10,000 tickets for anyone to sell in your hometown would be amazing. But for 10,000 fans to come halfway across the world and bear in mind the fights that are coming up lately and in the future and with the credit crunch in New York coming on and stuff like that, I think it just shows, you know, I felt sure in becoming the best pound-for-pound fighter on the planet the last time I was in Vegas. I think one title will do unanimously hold is the best fans in the world, and they are coming over in the droves, and it does spur you on. I think, to be honest, the love of the fans is priceless, and that is the best title you can have, and it makes me feel very, very proud when they come and do. But
this time, you know, I hope they, you know, they'll be proved that what fantastic fans they are, because last time, obviously, they booed the national anthem, which I think was, it was mainly, I think, what people have got to realise is if you went to a soccer match in England and the national anthem was played, you would expect booing. It's going to be a soccer thing, which you're not making excuses for it. I mean, there's no excuse for it, but it tends to be an English soccer thing where they tend to do, and it's very unheard of, certainly in the United States, and I don't think that did me any favours on the night, and I'm sure the fans will respect it this time immensely.
Do you feel like boxing fans are more passionate in England than they are in the United States?
No, not at all. I think the boxing fans in the United States are equally as passionate. When you come to a fight in England, it tends to be like a soccer match atmosphere, in the sense that there's lots of singing, there's lots of songs going, lots of tunes, all the fans, chanting your name and stuff like that. Well, the American fight fans, although they're equally as keen, they're probably just a little bit more reserved. You know, there's not really that soccer feel to an atmosphere after fight. But I think American fans have liked that. In some cases, when the Brits have come over, but no, I think American fight fans some of the best fans, some of the best boxers in the joint, some of the best fighters in the world, and that's why British fighters want to come over here because of just what boxing is in America, basically, from a fan base and everything. But it's just a different type of atmosphere, I think. But no, I think they're basically on the same wavelength, yeah.
Great. Thanks, Ricky.
Cheers, thank you.
Again, to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Ramon Aranda with 411mania.com.
Ricky, after your last fight with Loscano, you had talked about, being nervous and this being such a big fight for you, especially coming off the loss to Mayweather. After the fight, you talked about that it was kind of, you're kind of glad that it was over, that you kind of got that first fight after defeat out of the way. How do you feel about that now?
Well, to be honest, I was absolutely delighted with my performance against Loscano, bearing in mind the circumstances. In coming off a defeat to Floyd and then a knockout defeat as that, I mean, I had, as I mentioned at the time, I come up with a chest infection and I had to send my sparring partners home early. I only got half the training under my belt that I would normally do, which is really worrying for a fighter anyway, let alone coming off a knockout defeat. I had 58,000 people cheering me on, which is a wonderful thing to have. But when you're coming off a knockout defeat and when you've got this terrible chest infection, you've only managed to get through half of your training and your spine partners have gone on early, it sort of like adds to the pressure type thing. So I was extremely nervous. It was the first fight after a knockout defeat, the crowd, the chest infection. So to be honest, the most sparring I've ever done was 6 rounds for that fight, really, which is nothing short of unbelievable, really. But I went through with the fight, in typical Ricky Hatton and Charlie Big Bollock style. and bearing in mind all them things considered, I was over the moon with my performance. But if I hadn't been coming off a knockout win, if I hadn't been coming off my first loss to my defeat and a knockout loss, and if I hadn't have had the chest infection, and I hadn't got through all my sparring and my training camp as perfect as I normally would have done, if I'd have done all them things, then I would have said it was a crap performance, which it was. But there was a lot of things considering. There was a lot of things going into it that were happening. A lot of demons in my mind that I had to shake off and get through. And along with the illness, I was delighted with the performance. But if it had been 100%, say 100% focused, not these things on my mind and no illness to worry about, I'd have said it was nothing short of shit.
Fair enough. Now, just to finally wrap up, Floyd already kind of talked about training with you, but from your perspective, what have you been able to take away from Mayweather's style? I mean, I know he's very big on defense, on slipping punches. Pauly had mentioned it previously when we were talking to him about, that you've taken a lot of punches in your fights, even though you've been winning. But what have you been able to take away from Floyd's style?
What Floyd has probably reminded me of the fact that there's two Ricky Hattons. You know, if you look at my performances in years gone by, Ben Tackey and Ray Oliveira, you know, I have showed very good boxing skill, boxing abilities. I mean, in the fight against Ben Tackey, a lot of people say, God, you know, where's that performance come from? I have got it in me, but I'd forgot it, I think, recently. I think ever since I bulldozed Kostya Zou out of his title type thing, I thought, you know, maybe without realising it, I thought I had this little bit of an invincibility force build around me that I could bulldoze everyone. And you can't bulldoze everyone, certainly not at this level. You know, Floyd has just brought out of me what I knew I had locked up in my locker, you know, all along. And I think I hadn't been working on the technical side in recent camps with my former trainer. So Floyd has got me putting the pressure on my opponents, putting the heat on my opponents, but being aware of the punches coming back. I've not been doing as much weight training, you know, so obviously I'm quicker and I'm faster. In fact, so one of the things that people have alluded to, the fact that, you know, Kostya Zou had that big, massive right hand, and the way I beat him was because I moved in on him so quickly, he wasn't able to get that right hand in on me. And, you know, I think that's what Paulie thinks. You know, he's saying, I haven't got the speed and that. I think that's going to shock him, really. I think Ricky Hatton is, in cutting the ring down, he's very quick at getting to his opponent and covering the distance, and I think that's going to be essential in this fight. A good left jab is going to be essential, because you can't just steam in there to someone with Paulie's ability. You know, you've got to put behind a decent jab, you've got to show movements, angles, move your head, and that is what I've not done in the last 2 years, I feel, and Floyd has brought that out to me, and I thank him for it, and it's just... one thing me, I can say it to them blue in the face, what I've got to do, I've still got to go and do it, haven't I? And I think I've not had this good a training camp for about 3 years, I think, so that spells trouble for Paulie, I think.
All right, Ricky, good luck, and we'll see you in Vegas.
Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from Sean Reed with FightBeat.com.
Hello, Ricky.
Hey, mate.
Watching Mayweather Hatton 24/7, it was apparent that your relationship with Billy Graham was very special. Is there still a relationship today? And explain how it is.
I'd rather not talk about it, to be honest. Do you mind if I don't answer that question?
Fair enough. I mean, I respect that.
It's not that what me and Billy away did. Me and Billy had a great working relationship. And to be honest, the whole time was in different ways and reasons. The knockout wins against Castillo and going to Kostya Zou, and everybody said it was a mismatch and I was going to get beat. Nobody can ever take away from that. We had some great times together, but I just know how to talk about the future.
I can respect that. There's rumors of you facing Oscar De La Hoya in May of 2009. There's also talks of you possibly facing Manny Pacquiao. Can you confirm either of those rumors, and what are your thoughts on the upcoming Pacquiao-De La Hoya fight?
I would obviously love to fight the winner of that. I mean, Manny Pacquiao, you've got the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. I don't know whether that pound-for-pound title is up for grabs on Saturday with the weight and the size difference. I mean, that's up to you, guys, the experts in the profession, to make the mind up regarding that. But, I mean, either way, you've got the two biggest names in boxing, probably. So I think, I would like to think I'm in the firing line for a fight with the winner. But to be perfectly honest, my last performance, and as I mentioned earlier, that, you know, there was reasons behind, you know, I had to bounce back from a knockout defeat, which you got all the demons to deal with, which is very, very difficult, and the chest infection and stuff like that. But, you know, I have to be honest with you, you always get an honest answer from Ricky Hatton that, you know, if my last performance against one of the Scandals is anything to go by, I'm not worthy of a fight against the winner. Saturday night, with the performance that I am going to put on, and that I expect to put on, I will be well and truly worthy of a fight with Manny Pacquiao and Oscar De La Hoya, I believe. But saying is one thing, doing is another. I've got to go out and perform on Saturday. And if I think if I perform like I expect to perform on Saturday, then yes, I would like to fight the winner, and I'd like to think I'd be in the shop window. And how more in the shop window I go depends on Saturday's performance.
Appreciate it, Ricky.
Cheers, mate.
Your next question comes from the line of Dan Raphael with ESPN.
Hey, Ricky, I just had a follow-up question for you.
Sure.
You know, I haven't seen you since you got to camp, and so I saw you in September, I guess, when you came to Vegas for Casamayor and Marquez. And there's been so much rumor and innuendo about your weight and how your training has gone in this camp. Can you just talk about if you're having difficulties making 140 and how that's gone? And, you know, you hear all kinds of crazy stuff. The fight's going to get canceled because Ricky Hatton can't make weight. Just, you know, put that all to rest if you can.
Yeah, well, I was quite gobsmacked by that statement, to be honest. In fact, it was my solicitor, of all people, who was in New York working with Joel Kawasaki, mm-hmm. and he phoned me up and he said, Ricky, what's happened? And I said, what do you mean, one second? He said, well, I'm in New York here, the Kawasaki fight, and I believe the fight's off. Seems a bit of a coincidence, it's called his hometown, but I mean... I said, well, why is the fight up? He said, oh, well, you're not looking very good in training and you're struggling with your weight. And I said, well, that is far from the truth. I think everybody who's been in the gym and seen me will know that that's not the truth. My weight is absolutely perfect. It's the same that it's always been. I'm about 4 or 5 pounds, you know, just over at the minute. And I'm just about, I'll just stretch that down a little bit by Friday. I think the best person on the line to answer that is Floyd, really. I mean, we have a little saying in England, it's an absolute load of bollocks.
obviously you're a couple of pounds over now because the weigh-in's not for, you know, a few more days, but there's no issues with you getting down to 140, right? I just have these visions you know, oh my God, we're going to have a canceled fight like I've seen before with...
I think a lot more should be done regarding the weight on that. Too many people are just not bothering to turn up and make weight now. I think it's bad for boxing. But that certainly won't be the... You know, the
how difficult was it for you, though, Ricky?
I'm sorry?
How difficult was it? Like, how much did you have to lose from the time you began your serious training camp to the point where you weigh 10 stone on Friday before the fight?
No problem at all, just no difficult than it's always been. In fact, I'm doing it a little bit better as I'm getting a little bit older. I think normally to be sure making weight should be a little bit harder, but I'm getting a little bit older. I'm a little bit older, a little bit wiser, a little bit knowing my body, knowing more about my body and more about food. And as you get a little bit more experienced, I'm finding that I'm doing it a lot easier, but... I'm not bothered. If people want to worry about that, they can worry about it. Me and Floyd aren't arsed. Me and Floyd aren't bothered.
Very good. All right. Thanks, guys.
See you later.
Okay, I think that's it. Thank you so much, Ricky, Floyd, Dave, for participating. Again, this is the week for the fight, and if anybody has any questions regarding the fight week schedule, they can call Monica Sears, who is on site at the MGM, and you can ask her any questions to go over it, but I think everybody has received a copy of the Fight Week schedule. So that's it, and thanks, guys, for being here today, and look forward to having a great fight. Thanks. Okay, bye-bye.
Yes.
Bye.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.